The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk, our monthly presentation here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260 The Rock, in which we talk with one of our local bishops about the state of the diocese, the state of the faith and society and so on. And we're pleased to have you with us today listening at this blessed time of the year, Eastertide, and also a most unusual time in our city, in our country, and in our world's history with the coronavirus and all the effects that that has had. I'm Dick Russ. I'll be your host for the next hour, and our special guest is Father Don Oleksiak, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, holding that position until another bishop is named and appointed here in the Diocese of Cleveland. Father Don, welcome to Table Talk and welcome to Catholic Radio AM 1260 The Rock.
Good afternoon, Dick, and it's a really great honor and pleasure to be here with you and certainly glad to participate in this program today.
We're pleased to have you with us, Father Don. What I want to do is give our listeners kind of a general outline before we begin of what we want to do with this program, again, coming at an unusual time and a very important time in all of our lives. We would like to give with you, Father Oleksiak, kind of a liturgical update. What is happening in the diocese and parishes, what can and can't happen, what are the current government restrictions that we may have to abide by, sacramental concerns, availability of the sacraments. Of course, we all know that school has been suspended and most likely will not resume for this particular year. What is the role of teachers and parents? But also, despite the restrictions and things like that, this is for us an extraordinary opportunity to pray and to worship at home with our families in what is the domestic church. What are the available resources for that? So there are so many things we'd like to cover. But before we do, Father Don Oleksiak, can you lead us in an opening prayer?
Sure, Dick. I'd love to do that. So let's begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to use the prayer that it'll be the opening prayer for Easter Sunday Mass. I think it speaks really volumes of our need for hope, trust, and belief that God will see us through. And so we pray, O God, who on this day, through your only begotten Son, have conquered death and unlocked for us the path to eternity. Grant, we pray, that we who keep the solemnity of the Lord's resurrection may, through the renewal brought by your Spirit, rise up in the light of life. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, Father Don Oleksiak, you are, as we said, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, brought into this role with the departure of Bishop Perez as Archbishop of Philadelphia a couple of months ago. Father, what are the responsibilities in the decision-making process now that you are the administrator of the diocese? What exactly is that role?
The role is to continue the day-to-day operations of the life of the Church of the eight counties of the Diocese of Cleveland. The Church, I have been given the same authority as a bishop in all things but three basic things. I'm not permitted to ordain. For the first year, if this goes on any longer, but particularly for the first year, I'm not able to name pastors, only administrators of parishes, and I'm not permitted to sell diocesan property. Those are the three main restrictions. In addition to that, the day-to-day decision-making and responsibilities have been given to me. I was elected by the College of Consultors, and I'm charged with overseeing the day-to-day administration, pastoral and sacramental life of the Church of Cleveland.
And what a coincidence of this role to which you've been elected and the outbreak of the coronavirus. It's like you could not have imagined a concurrence of two things like this, Father.
Yeah, it certainly is unprecedented. It's certainly, again, also nothing I would have ever asked for. But one of the things that gives me great strength is I draw from my own ordination almost 31 years ago. I draw from that experience of kneeling before Bishop Pilla, who was my ordaining bishop, and putting my hands in his and promising him obedience and respect to him and his successors. And that basically is something that I've grown into appreciating and respecting and understanding as I've been called to do what the church asks me to do. While 31 years ago I never envisioned having this responsibility, I do it because of that promise of obedience, my trust in God, and my belief that the Lord will give me what I need to accomplish it. I'm surrounded by an incredible, wonderfully talented senior staff here in the diocese. The priests of the diocese are extraordinary. Their heroic efforts that they're doing during this pandemic have been inspiring to me, and I am filled with a lot of hope of the goodness of people taking care of one another and accommodating and adjusting to these most difficult times.
Father, you mentioned that in your role as an administrator, one of the things you cannot do is ordain men to the priesthood. Did we not or do we not have a couple of men who are scheduled or eligible for ordination in about a month or so?
Sure. Actually, in a couple of weeks, April 18th was the first ordination scheduled, and that would have been for young men who were preparing to be ordained to the transitional diaconate, then to complete their final year of preparation, anticipating ordination to priesthood. In addition to that, on May 2nd, three men who had been preparing for ordination to the permanent diaconate, and then on the 16th of May, two men who, to transitional deacons who were preparing for ordination to priesthood. Yesterday, I sent a memo out to all of the priests of the diocese and to the religious, informing them of some decisions to postpone those ordinations. With the current stay-at-home order, social distancing, and the prohibition of gathering in large groups that the governor has instituted in the state of Ohio, in consultation with the College of Consultors, I have decided that for the good of everyone, that we'll postpone those till later in August, September, or October, as we're able to schedule them at the cathedral. The men are disappointed, but certainly understanding. I've reached out to all of them and have informed them of that decision and assured them of the fact that they will be ordained. It's just not on the day they were scheduled to.
Well, God willing, we'll be at a point by fall that it will permit that. Father, this pandemic of the virus has really created a massive societal shift, secular and religious, locally, nationwide, and as we said at the beginning of our Table Talk program here, globally. And we're all feeling it. We're all experiencing it, something that has never happened before. How are you experiencing this, Father, both personally and in your role as the administrator of the diocese? This is not a minor adjustment. This is a major adjustment in nearly every individual's life to some degree.
Dick, probably the most immediate and certainly most impactful impact of this pandemic is the limitation and the inability for us to gather as a people of faith around the Eucharistic table and to celebrate Mass. That is a great loss to gather, not be able to gather with the people of God and to worship and to celebrate and to receive Holy Communion. Yesterday, we gathered at the cathedral with Bishop Amos and we celebrated Chrism Mass, the Mass where holy oils are blessed and then distributed to the diocese for sacramental realities of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, and for holy orders. During that liturgy, it was heartbreaking to look out to an empty cathedral. Now, we were live streaming it, and it's available online at the diocesan website at www.dioceseofcleveland.org. But nonetheless, it pained me, particularly during the liturgy yesterday. There is the renewal of priestly commitment. And during that renewal and the questions that Bishop Amos asked us, as I looked out to the section of the cathedral that normally would be filled with 200 to 250 priests, my heart broke not being able to be there together with my brother priests to renew our commitment to serve the people of God and to be faithful to the Lord. That was probably the most dramatic way in which, personally for me, that this pandemic has impacting my life and the life of the local church.
We're talking with Father Donald Exaic, administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, here on Table Talk on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're taping this program on the day before Holy Thursday, so it's being broadcast on Holy Thursday and also after Easter. So whenever you're listening to this, either online or on one of our mobile apps or on the radio, you will know the time frame that we're talking about, because day to day now, sometimes things change so dramatically that they may appear dated. But this is being taped on the day before Holy Thursday on a Wednesday, which is sometimes unusually known as Spy Wednesday Father. That's the day that I think the scriptures are silent about this day, except that this is the day that Judas accepted the 30 pieces of silver to betray our Lord and Savior. Father Don, what exactly is suspended? What is canceled in terms of liturgical events? Could you give us kind of the, without getting real specific, we can do that later.
Sure.
What's the overview of the liturgical life in the Diocese of Cleveland right now?
So the liturgical life continues on. The priests are saying masses at their respective parishes. We're celebrating mass here at the cathedral. What is, in a nutshell, not happening is the faithful gathering for those celebrations of Eucharist. And that would be the main reality is the sacramental life of the church continues on. The difficulty is the restriction of not being able to gather as a community of faith. And I think, again, the creativity of technology, we're trying to reach out to people, but not everybody has technological means. There's a great, great absence and certainly a great missing in our hearts of being able to come together as a community of faith, especially in this, the holiest of weeks of the liturgical year.
Yeah, Father, how do government regulations impact your diocesan and parish decisions? You could say, how do you manage to feed my sheep when the government, to some degree, says you may not?
That's a great question, and the government doesn't say that we can't feed the sheep. What it says is that we can't gather in public. We're trying to be creative in how we're reaching out. There's some really innovative things that are being done in the parishes, especially for the homebound and those who are lonely or are feeling isolated. Many parishes are utilizing their parish councils, their parish staffs, volunteer parishioners to make phone calls, to reach out to those folks, to make sure that they're provided for, they have all that they need, checking to make sure they have medicine and food and hydration. And sometimes they're just spending time on the phone talking to them, especially those that don't have the ability to connect with live streaming. Many of our parishes are live streaming daily events, whether that's the Mass, the Rosary, Stations of the Cross, other spiritual events. Many parishes, I've been told and have heard, that they're doing retreats and spiritual talks that folks can access online. I have to be honest with you and say that I am inspired and so proud of our priests for their creativity and their ability to be creative and think outside the box and trying to reach out to people. Those are the ways that we're feeding our people, that we're trying to be attentive to them, we're caring for them. And of course, you know, Dick, that one of the biggest outreaches of the Church of Cleveland is Catholic Charities. We're one of the largest in the country, and the faithfulness and the dedication of the charity staff that provide food and shelter and clothing and medicine, especially for the most vulnerable. And in addition to that, the incredible generosity of the people of God to support that ministry. We rely so much on the generosity of the people of Northeast Ohio to support our Catholic charity and our charitable efforts. And without their generosity, we could not provide the feeding of the sheep through that particular ministry.
Yeah, Father, we all know that this particular moment in our history has been most taxing and taking a large toll on our older population. And here at The Rock, we know that many people depend on the radio, say, for their spiritual nourishment. We've greatly extended our number of masses and so on and devotions, as has the EWTN network. You know, you mentioned that parishes and priests are live streaming Mass and different things, but for the elderly, those who maybe cannot manipulate or have access to technology as much, I wonder if going forward now, and we're thinking beyond perhaps the end of this particular crisis that we're in, but maybe this gives us the impetus to find a way to help the elderly access technology. Is there a role that the church can have going forward to help the laity stay connected online when they can't, by maybe not an extraordinary time like this because of a virus, but just because of age or infirmity? Maybe some more creative ways of attending to our older population, that kind of good may come out of this, do you think?
I do think that. And actually, Dick, one of the things I've asked our senior staff to do during this unprecedented time is to keep a pad of paper on their desk and to continue to list all the things that we're learning from these times, this pandemic experience, of what we're not doing well, what we can improve, and what creative ways might we able to be better prepared in the future for any other type of thing. So I think we can learn from this and to really encourage people to provide an opportunity to be creative as we go forward once this pandemic is behind us. The other thing, Dick, let me just mention this, sure. And I'm sure you know this already, but one of the things we've been doing for years through our relationship with TV8 is every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. I know it's early, but TV8, we record the Sunday Mass. So if they don't have technology, most people have a TV, and at least they can connect to us through the TV Mass on Channel 8 on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m., in addition to all the live streaming that's done by the diocese and local parishes.
Yeah, and that Mass also, Father, we rebroadcast that Sunday mornings at 10:30 for those who said can't perhaps make it at 6 o'clock. A very good thought about furthering our thought process. That's not a bad idea. The notepad. What are we learning during this particular time in our history that we can use to make some greater good of what is a really tough time for a lot of people? You're listening to Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260 The Rock. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and we have as our special guest today, Father Donald Exiak, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland. We'll continue our discussion right after we take this short break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Before we continue our discussion with Father Don Oleksiak, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, we wanted to let you know that applications for tuition funding for Catholic education, those applications are now open for the next academic year. These include the Cleveland Scholarship, the EdChoice Scholarship, and the EdChoice Expansion Program. You can learn ways that your family may receive support from the Ohio Department of Education for fall of 2020 at the Diocese of here's the website, dioceseofcleveland.org/school choice. That's dioceseofcleveland.org/school choice. With Father Donald Exiak again, Father, you mentioned at the beginning of the program that you're working with a very competent and dedicated diocesan staff. I wonder how it's going there with the staff, including the priests. We know that some of them have been tested for the virus. How is the health situation of all concerned in your diocesan sphere?
The senior staff, we have what we call our coronavirus emergency staff meeting. So daily we meet telephonic. We haven't quite advanced to Zoom or the video conferencing yet, but we're working on getting there, and we're keeping up to date on all the various things that are impacting the various disciplines of diocesan administration. As far as the priests are going, I live at the cathedral with five other priests, so we're usually very busy and don't see each other very often, but for these last 3 weeks, we see a lot of each other. We've been enjoying community life. We've been challenged by community life. The other day, we were sitting around the table, socially distant, and many of us who are a little bit older were singing songs from the 70s. And one of our young priests, there were religious songs, had no idea what we were singing. We're also, if you know Father Dan Schlegel, Father Schlegel is the vicar for clergy here in the diocese. We've been enjoying some of his culinary skills. And I have to say, he makes some things that I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it ends up being rather delicious. And Father Sean Ralph, the director of the cathedral, has been our chief griller when we're cooking out grilling things. So we're adjusting to life and community life. We've been making holy hours for the priests and the people of the diocese, and we're trying to support each other. It's certainly been an interesting time. I've been in touch with the priests and the deacons of the diocese through regular communication and emails. It seems like almost every day I'm sending something out, reminding them, informing them, instructing them, answering questions and things of that nature. So we've been doing that as well to try to keep connected, as well as the religious communities of the diocese and to parishes as well. I've been doing weekly videos to the faithful and have been trying to portray and provide a message of hope and confidence that God will see us through this pandemic and this too will pass. We do have a handful of priests who have been tested for the virus, and thanks be to God, all six of them have tested negative, and they're exercising quarantine and caution and trying to continue to adhere to the government restrictions that are put in place.
Have you had to lay anybody off, Father, or prohibit anyone from coming in, to diocesan duties or anything like that?
Sure. Our diocesan offices are closed. We have an opportunity through technology to work remotely, so all of our employees in the diocesan offices are working remotely. Some have to come in, and they do so. We have maintenance staff that sanitizes the building. You come in and you check in. You have to report to your supervisor your temperature every day. If you're feeling sick or have a temperature, you're not permitted to come in. There are some things that just have to be done in the office. 99% of our employees are working from home, and they're being very cooperative and creative in doing that.
You know, what you described in your life with your priests in the community at the cathedral is not unlike what is happening with families. And some might say folks are now forced to be with each other. You know, you're not allowed to go anywhere, the travel restrictions and all that sort of thing. People who may have one goes one day somewhere and another one goes to work, and the kids are home, people are working at home. So folks have been, as families, kind of been, you might say, forced to also experience this close living in a community, a closeness they might not have experienced before.
Dick, I'm actually hopeful that that might be rekindled. When I was growing up, we had dinner at 5 o'clock, and the expectation was, unless the house was on fire, you had better be sitting at that kitchen table at 5 o'clock.
Sounds familiar.
And unless your plate was clean and Mom gave you permission to be excused from the table, you sat there until everybody was finished. And the purpose of that gathering was to come together as a family. And we talked about the things that we experienced in the day. We tattled on each other when we got in trouble. And Mom took the opportunity to remind us of the rules and regulations of what it meant to be a member of that household. And we prayed together. And I'm hoping that comes back. I don't think everything that's happened in this pandemic is negative. We can return to some good practices of days gone by. I know in my own life, 7 days a week, I go 15 hours a day. And from one meeting to the next, to an event, to this or that, very seldom am I able to sit home. I'm reading more, praying more, enjoying fraternity with my brothers, and I'm not putting any miles on my car or spending any money. So my credit card bill this month is incredibly low, which gives me the opportunity to be more charitable, especially to those who are in most need. So I'm hoping that we're able to learn from this. I think the key for us in this whole process is to learn. Always learn. What we can improve. What is God teaching on us in this situation? And how can we deepen our resolve to be more faithful to Him and more attentive to our brothers and sisters? I'm really hoping and praying that this restriction of travel and the stay-at-home order is not isolating people, but uniting us more closely with each other in spiritual ways and creative ways through technology.
We're talking with Father Don Alexiak, administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father, the travel ban, which you mentioned a number of times, has restricted the ability and mobility of priests and deacons and so on to do what they normally had done. And to some degree, families are wondering, when they are in a time of a crisis or stress, just what to do. For example, what is the procedure now? Is there a regulation, or what is the discretion in when a family member is in need, let's say, of the last rites? Maybe they're in a private home. Maybe they're in a nursing home. Maybe they're in a hospital. We've seen a lot of this in the news. How do we as a family approach this sort of thing?
What I would encourage people to do is to, first of all, call their parish priest. I just sent out instructions yesterday reminding of the parish priest to attend to the needs of the people as best they can. Now, Dick, you know that if you're in a hospital or a nursing home, many of those institutions have strictly restricted access. So many of our priests are not able to access those situations to be able to provide anointing. We can't get into some of the hospitals because of their restrictions. But certainly if somebody is at home, here's the caveat that we have to be cautious with. Many of our priests are at risk. They're in a category because of their age or health. Our priests are an older population. And so we need to use extreme caution. Yesterday I sent out a memo to all of our priests encouraging our young priests who are less of susceptible or certainly are not in the high-risk category, most of them are not, and who are willing to offer assistance for their brothers, to make that known to their brother neighboring priests. So if the neighboring priest is in his 70s with health issues or just simply 7 years old in that restricted category, high risk, if there's a family that calls that needs anointing of the sick, that the younger priest can go. Now, I reminded the younger priests as well that they're not invincible, that they need to wear masks and gloves and use all the precautions that the health community is advising us when doing that. But we need to do our best to be attentive. The Holy Father, in his recent talk, talked about making sure that we're still attending to the needs. There are some restrictions that prohibit us from doing that, but for the most part, we'll make every effort we possibly can, particularly to provide the anointing of the sick to those who are sick and in close proximity to death.
And if you cannot get into the hospital or the nursing home, because I know we had one local nursing home here with a number of cases, and someone is near death, what about absolution? What about that final confession? What about viaticum and all that sort of thing that is not only customary but perhaps necessary for those about to leave this earthly life? That's a great concern of a lot of people, especially with the older, vulnerable people.
Sure. And Dick, what I would say is many people in the world without the pandemic don't have access to a priest to administer the sacraments, particularly in time of a death. And the Holy Father reminded us just recently of the perfect act of contrition that one could say or a family member could say if someone is unconscious for the sick and dying, that forgives them of their sins and receives the grace that they need to make the transition from this life to the next. And so I would recommend that as well. And I've asked Deacon Armstrong to make sure that was at our diocesan website, that people could access that at www.dioceseofcleveland.org under the section that has prayers and spiritual resources in regards to the COVID-19 info and resources on our webpage. Again, I would refer people to our webpage and the COVID-19 info resources tab. There's a plethora of prayers and opportunities for people, particularly when a priest is not able to attend because of restrictions by hospitals or nursing homes or their own health restrictions that prohibit them from participating in bringing the sacraments to those who are in most need.
Yeah, and funeral rites as well, Father Alexiak. I personally, since all of these restrictions have started, know 4, maybe 5 people who have passed away, not from the virus, but there's no wake. Funerals restricted to a handful of people. What are the regulations? What's the process now in the Diocese of Cleveland, both in terms of some kind of any kind of wake and then a service and then at the cemetery?
Sure. So what is happening is that most because of the restriction of 10 or less to gather, most folks are postponing the funeral mass and either saying some prayers at the funeral home with immediate family of 10 or less, and then going to the cemetery and conducting the committal rites. Andre Law, the director of Catholic cemeteries for the Diocese of Cleveland, and his staff have been doing a stellar job of attending to the needs of the families who are bereaved and lost loved ones and making sure that that happens. And then later on, when we're able to gather again, we'll be scheduling funeral memorial masses for those who have deceased.
We mentioned briefly, you did, Father, about confession. You know, there are many questions about that regarding its current availability and form. You know, prior to this, fewer people than used to use the sacrament in normal times. Can people make arrangements with their parish priest? You know, if you listen to the news or looked at it, some places around the country and around the world advertise a safe space between the priest and the penitent. We've seen these drive-through confessions, you know, where you roll down your window and the priest is 6-10 feet away, and I guess you kind of, I don't know, speak loudly, and how do you remain anonymous? What's normal here? What does the penitent do here in the Diocese of Cleveland?
Sure, Dick. This is one of those situations where there is no normal. And again, what if a person is in need of confession, they certainly should call their parish priest. Again, depending on his health and his age and his risk level of the virus, He may or may not be able to. Many of our priests are making arrangements. The difficulty is providing the anonymity, obviously, and so that is one of the difficult things. Folks are going to have to make some allowance for these unprecedented times. But the priests are available if their health allows to hear confession. We're not allowed to gather in the church for a prayer service or for penance services. And it's really highly discouraged to use the confessional because of the closed space and not being able to be socially distant. So many of our priests are being creative and attending to this. Let me also say, Dick, that being here at the cathedral, and I know it's a unique place to be, but we hear confessions during regular time outside of the pandemic 3 times a day. And you mentioned that this is not a highly used sacrament. Well, here at the cathedral, it certainly is. And all of us priests who are in the confessionals are very, very busy listening, hearing confessions, and absolving people. So I'm not sure the sacrament is dead as everybody believes it is. And again, if they're not able to access or they themselves are not able to get out, certainly making that perfect act of contrition and confessing their sins and then planning to go to confession once the pandemic is over and the government restrictions have been lifted. Certainly, God understands in these difficult times.
We've heard the concept of general absolution, which is used, say, in wartime when a group is going into battle or something like that. But that application, we're not there yet, Father?
We're not there yet. General absolution would be, my understanding is the permission would be granted, like you said, in wartime when the expectation of imminent death was there. Again, the expectation of imminent death for the coronavirus, certainly people are dying. We want to pray for them and pray for their families. People are suffering because of it. But the majority of people will recover from it, and imminent death is not present. Therefore, general absolution is not permitted at this time.
We're talking with Father Donald Exiak, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, on Table Talk. Here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio, we'll continue our discussion with Father Alexiak right after we take this brief break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260, The Rock. Before we continue our discussion with Father Donald Exiak, we want to let you know that you can keep up with the latest news and resources from the Diocese of Cleveland at dioceseofcleveland.org/news. The news page is updated daily, and it provides all the readers with statements, liturgical updates, streaming notifications, inspirational stories from around Northeast Ohio, and maybe you have a story idea. Well, you can visit the news page and click on the Northeast Ohio Catholic Magazine link. You'll be guided to an online story submission portal. That's dioceseofcleveland.org/news. Father Alexiak, everybody has a story about dealing with the coronavirus and this exceptional situation that we're all in. And, a lot of those stories revolve around now the kids being home from school. I know that recently it was anticipated that maybe the schools would reopen on May 1st, and now the head advisor to the president has said looks like it might not be till fall. We don't quite have that sense now, but what do you think may or may not happen? And we won't hold you to it because it's a fluid situation.
Sure, Dick, I would say that my guess is as good as anybody else's. While schools may be physically closed, I have to certainly give a shout-out to Dr. Franco Lynn and the education department here in the diocese and all of our Catholic educators and formators, as well as Greg Coogan, our director of catechetical services, who is working with parish catechetical leaders, making sure that both Dr. Olin and Greg Coogan are making sure that there's resources being provided to our teachers and catechists so that education and faith formation, while the schools and PSR programs might be closed physically, those are ongoing in the domestic church, and education continues in both forms. And our children are learning the creativity and technology that's available. And even in our areas where there aren't the resources to be able to have the technology, our schools are providing pickup packages where parents can come and pick up a package of material to give to their children to continue the educational process while classes are physically canceled.
Yeah, and I would say, Father, that this is not only an opportunity but an obligation for parents or other caregivers to make sure that the kids who are at home, you know, use these resources and find whatever it is they need to keep this up and not just have, you know, like free 3 months off of school. There have been some reports that where attendance is monitored and is mandatory in other cities, that it is really falling off, and you can't let that happen, you know?
Correct, and I think they're making heroic efforts. I think this also gives parents a great opportunity to have a greater appreciation for our teachers and catechists of their awesome responsibility to teach and to pass on the faith and to augment what the parents commit to at baptism when they say that they promise to be the first teachers but also to be the best of teachers in the ways of faith, instructing their children in faith and morals.
Father, you know, one of the things that happens at this time of year, well, there are a couple. I want to mention one first. First, Holy Communions. That's a very major event in Catholic families' lives for most of them. And obviously, it's going to be postponed this year. Do you have any sense of what families can expect?
Sure. I yesterday sent out a memo to all of our priests and parishes and the religious of the diocese in regards to confirmations and First Holy Communion and RCIA initiation sacraments, as well as other faith formation opportunities, instructing that April and May confirmations and First Holy Communion celebrations be rescheduled to later in the year, the end of the summer or in the fall, when more than likely we'll be able to gather again in large groups to truly gather and celebrate those wonderful initiation moments in the life of the faithful. For at least the next few months, I have instructed that not to take place. It doesn't make any sense to have an event where people are not permitted to gather. So we'll rely again on the parishes and the pastors to reschedule those, as well as to communicate that to their parents. So I know that people have been anxious about those events, and hopefully we'll be able to have those communicated and rescheduled in the very near future.
And real quickly, what about baptisms and marriages that were planned? June, May, June, July, that's kind of prime season for marriages, and a lot of people have made plans years in advance.
Sure, and again, it's an unprecedented reality that we're dealing with. For couples who are preparing to be married, I would recommend that they contact their priest or deacon that's going to witness the marriage at the parish where the event will take place. If they do not want to reschedule and there still is the restriction of gathering in large groups and the stay-at-home order, then they will be restricted to 10 people. Obviously, that would be a huge change in many weddings. So many of the brides and grooms are rescheduling, adjusting going into the fall. Certainly venues for receptions and all that, it's a complicated mess. But people are going to have to be understanding and accommodating, adjusting to those things. So we recommend that those also get rescheduled and pushed to a later time when family and friends can gather and celebrate. That's what we do best as a community of faith. But again, obviously, if they need to continue those on their scheduled dates, they will need to comply with the government restrictions of 10 people or less.
Yeah, on the news also, Father, that we've seen things from some places about drive-in masses. You know, people remain in their cars. There have been some non-Catholic Christian churches have done this. they put the minister or whatever on the loudspeaker and everybody drives up and listens. Is anything like that even contemplated here, or is that at the discretion of a pastor, or how would that work locally?
Again, yesterday in my instructions to the priests of the diocese, I instructed them that drive-in masses, parking lot masses, and drive-by distribution of Holy Communion are forbidden in the Diocese of Cleveland because they violate both the stay-at-home order and the order not to gather in large crowds or large groups. With us, it's a little bit unique because there is a need to have some contact in the distribution of Holy Communion. And the possibility of exposing others to the contagion, or the priest or deacon himself, is really something that we're asking people not to participate in. So priests have been instructed in the Diocese of Cleveland, these are not permitted.
In all of this, Father Oleksiak, brings us to the point that we really also wanted to make, and I think we've been doing it through the course of this program, is that in an unprecedented time like this, yes, there are things we cannot do and we're restricted from doing, but there are things that we can do. And we talk about, you mentioned in your community, that you keep a holy hour every day. This is such an opportunity for the family to avail themselves of things such as the Liturgy of the Hours, various forms of prayer, praying as a family, using the daily readings. There's many resources online. How would you advise a family, whether it's an older couple or a younger family with or without children? What can and should we be doing, and what kind of benefits will accrue to us through this very difficult time?
Dick, I think one of the most important things we can do is be ordered and scheduled. I think most people appreciate a schedule. As I was telling you earlier, when I was a kid at 5 o'clock, you knew you had to be home for dinner. That was the dinner hour where the family gathered. So perhaps maybe during this time of this pandemic, as we're experiencing life, family life, a lot different, where we're not running all around to all kinds of soccer games and baseball games and dance lessons and church events and social events, that we schedule our day. So the day would begin with prayer. There would be some time that would be scheduled for study and reflection, that there would be some time for recreation, just to go out in the yard and get some fresh air if the weather cooperating, to schedule time for meals, to schedule time for chores and duties and things of that nature. Not that it has to be rigid, but that that there is the expectation of this. So if you choose 3 o'clock, that we're going to pray together as a family. I would certainly encourage you to go to the diocesan website under prayers and spiritual resources under our pandemic, the coronavirus section. Certainly you could see there a plethora of opportunities that families could engage in to participate in joining in spiritual communion by watching either recorded Mass or the live stream Mass, which is also available on that page. Also, Father Ryan Mann, one of our young creative priests, has put together some video reflections that can also be found on that page that really give us some great ideas and insights about what families can do during this time. This is really a time for us to be able to reimagine family life and to reimagine our own personal lives as well, to be attentive to the common good, which seems to kind of have slipped away, and also to see what we can do as a family to do charitable works and to do Christian outreach by calling our neighbors or making sure that they have food and they have hydration and their medicines are up to date, and just to say hello and be connected to another human being. It's so important for us to do that.
And there are many prayers and devotions that can be done, simple ones. The rosary, what a perfect a perfect example. And as I mentioned, a number of people say they have gone back to the what is normally thought of the domain of the priest and the religious, the Liturgy of the Hours, the daily prayer of the church. And if you're home, you should, like you said, make a schedule, make the time.
One of the things about the Liturgy of the Hours, a wonderful app that's available is ebreviary.com or .org. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but one of those, it's the whole Liturgy of the Hour online for us, and it's a wonderful, easy resource to use. In addition, on that particular site, you can click on the tab that says Prayers, and it lists a whole bunch of prayers that families could participate in their time that they reserve for prayer during the day as a family or individually as well.
We're talking with Father Don Alexiak here on Table Talk on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We're thankful that you are with us and listening on this very special edition. And we're going to return to conclude our program with Father Alexiak right after we take one final. Welcome back to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Dick Russ, and before we continue our discussion with the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland, Father Don Alexiak, well, we want to let you know that applications for tuition funding for Catholic education are now open for the next academic year. These include the Cleveland Scholarship, the EdChoice Scholarship, and the EdChoice Expansion Program. You can learn ways that your family may receive support from the Ohio Department of Education for fall of 2020 at dioceseofcleveland.org/school-choice. Father Alexiak, as we've mentioned, our program here is being taped during Holy Week. It'll play once on Holy Thursday and then after Easter Sunday. But what a propitious time for us to be talking, a time of the greatest joy and hope for mankind, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it comes also at a time when so many people are in turmoil and there is so much tribulation in the world, death and disease and that sort of thing. And we're all trying to reconcile this in our own minds at this time of year, Father.
It is, and it's certainly a wonderful time for us to turn to the church and the incredible resources of prayer and support and encouragement that we can get from scriptures, from the liturgy, from the prayers, and from being part of a community of faith, to know that while we might be physically separated, we are united, that God does not abandon us. He is with us. And he will see us through this. And we're a people of hope through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus, particularly as we celebrate in this Triduum. We celebrate this incredible gift of God's love for us, a love that was revealed in the giving of his Son, who was willing to take up his cross and suffer and die for the remission of our sins and to provide for us a place in the kingdom of God and to be able to enjoy the gift of life eternal, where we'll see God face to face. That is our hope, and hope springs eternal, and hope does not disappoint. And so we are called to draw from the richness of our faith, especially in these difficult times.
You mentioned a little earlier, we all have to know, quote, what is God teaching us? And in order to know what God is teaching us, Father, we, I would suppose, have to keep our ears and our hearts open to what he's telling us at this time.
And I think that's going to be different for each of us. As we look to this time, all of us are on our spiritual journey. We're all at a different place in that. But the one common thing we have is that the Lord sustains us. And when we quiet ourselves, when we spend some time listening and reading Scripture and reflecting upon it, when we just spend time before the crucifix and reflect upon the suffering of Christ and his incredible love for us, in those moments of prayer and those times of reflection, that oftentimes in the busyness of our lives, we just don't attend to it. So what we learn from this is perhaps maybe an opportunity to know that our God's love is real. It's very present. It's revealed to us in the community of faith, certainly in the sacraments and Scripture. And God is available to us and for us. We simply need to be there. All of Old Testament Scripture, as we'll read during the Easter Vigil, is about salvation history. It's a reminder that from the beginning of time, humanity has sinned, has messed up. has turned away from God. And the message and the lesson for us is that every time they turn back, God is waiting to embrace them and welcome them and to continue to sustain them in their journey and gets them to the promised land. And that's what we need to keep our eyes fixed on. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to know that we have a place that's promised for us in the kingdom of God, the gift of life eternal. And that truly is what fills us with joy and great hope, especially during these next few days of this holiest of times in the life of the church.
Father Alexiak, can you leave us, please, with a final quick prayer and your blessing?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. My brothers and sisters, we pray that during these most sacred days in which we reflect upon the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ, who passed over from death to life, and the church calls upon her sons and daughters scattered throughout the world to come together and to pray as we keep this memorial of the Lord's Paschal solemnity, listening to his word and celebrating this incredible mystery, we shall have the sure hope of sharing his triumph over death and living with him forever in heaven. And may Almighty God bless you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Happy Amen. Easter, happy Holy Week, and please know of my prayers for all of you. And Dick, a special thank you to you and your staff and the folks at 1260 and their great relationship with the diocese for this opportunity to be able to reach out to the people of God in northeastern Ohio. We really are grateful and want to assure you of our particular prayers for you and your families.
Thank you so very much. Our special guest today, Father Don Alexiak, the administrator of the Diocese of Cleveland. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your being with us for this edition of Table Talk. I'm your host, Dick Russ. For our producer, Tim Bulwer, and all of us here at AM 1260 The Rock, a blessed Paschal season to all of you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.